Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The following commentary is not meant to embarrass or impugn any individual person, or to claim that I get everything correct. I clearly do not. But rather to disparage the dangerous advice you regularly receive on the mainstream financial media networks. Because unlike Pinto Portfolio Strategies, most of the pundits that come on these channels do not possess a math-based algorithm that models the inflation, growth, and liquidity cycles. Therefore, they tend to miss recessions and bear markets because they focus on feelings and moving averages to direct their portfolios instead of using the tools necessary to protect investors, which is a viable model. Tom Lee is not only a regular on CNBC, but he is also a contributor, meaning he gets paid when he goes on TV. In fact, CNB is having something called Pro Week and is now being advertised for $59.99. According to the ad, you can, quote, supercharge your portfolio with CNBC's Pro Week with exclusive talks featuring legendary investors and experts, close quote. The channel's Pro Week includes such legendary investors like Cathie Wood and Tom Lee. For the record, Cathie Wood's flagship ARK portfolio is down 63% this year. Now, Cathie Wood had some good years. She definitely is useful in times. But what she lacks is an active or a proactive methodology to understand when high beta, low earning growth stocks are going to crash. She doesn't have one. That's why she's been long and strong this year. All of the wrong assets and stocks. Mr. Lee is well known as one of Wall Street's favorite perma bulls and one of the biggest Bitcoin apologists. In late December of last year, so in late 2021, Tom Lee stated that he regretted his prediction of Bitcoin rising to a $100,000 per unit by the end of the year did not materialize. However, he then said this, according to an interview recorded by Crypto Globe, quote, and this is a quote, so this is his language as he's speaking. So, unless the U.S. government bans Bitcoin in 2022, Bitcoin has already had some of the negative catalysts play out. So, I think Bitcoin could do really well. Now, in terms of percentage upside, again, I'm kind of disappointed. It didn't reach 100,000 this year, but I think next year, you know, easily getting to the $100,000. But let's say that it should have been $100,000 this year. So maybe Bitcoin is, you know, in that $200,000 range. I mean, I think that's achievable, and I know it sounds fantastical, but it's very useful. Well, the close quote. Well, the usefulness of Bitcoin is about as useful as Mr. Lee's predictions, as the flagship cryptocurrency is now trading at $16,000 per unit, which is a bit off from Tom's $200,000 guess of where it would be now. Tom Lee also predicted the following on April 3rd of this year. There is a 90%, this is what he said, there is a 90% probability, not 89, not 91, a 90% probability that the stock market has already seen its bottom for the year 2022. And it will end this year at the 5,100 level. These predictions were made by Mr. Lee when the S&P was trading at 4,550. The benchmark index then plunged to a new low of 3,570 in mid-October and now sits over 1,000 points below his year-end price target with about 2 weeks left to go. Earnings growth for the S&P 500 fell from a growth rate of 87% in Q2 of 2021 to zero in Q4 of this year, and will fall into negative territory by Q1 of 2023. How Tom missed understanding the magnitude and ramifications of such a move, or at the very least, not even get the direction of that move correct, is amazing. It's not just Mr. Lee who is guilty here. The entire, or nearly the entire deep state of Wall Street missed the move lower in earnings per share and is now trying to get you to focus on the fact that the recently lowered numbers are beating expectations, even though they never predicted them to fall in the first place. Telling investors nearly the entire ride down of stocks that earnings per share was going to grow strongly, then drastically cutting estimates a few weeks before the numbers come out, and then bragging about them beating a number that was so easily to exceed, is why I hate Wall Street. Of course, they rarely focus on the plunge in the year-over-year earnings. They just try to get you excited about the beat-the-number game. Of course, the biggest showman on CNBC is Jim Cramer, who today was effectively telling CEOs to stop being honest with investors about the dire condition of the economy. You know, CNBC had a poll out and they showed that an overwhelming number of CEOs were very sour and dour about the chances of economic growth in 2023. And he said in response to that today, quote, "I'm sick of it," unquote, when referring to CEOs not understanding that their responsibility, apparently according to Cramer, is to talk the economy up regardless of its condition. The point here is that CNBC tends to promote gurus that have a terrible track record because their sponsors prefer perpetual bull markets in stocks and crypto. And you are not their priority. Moving on, the average earnings decline in a recession for S&P 500 earnings is about 30%. But now Wall Street is promulgating the narrative that even if we have a recession next year, it will be one that is short and shallow. FactSet is still predicting 2023 earnings will grow by 5%. That is what I call an opportunity. Because even though earnings per share growth has already crashed from its high back in 2021, as I just mentioned, it is about to crash again. And even though it's about to crash again, the valuation of the stock market today is higher than at any other time in history prior to May of 2020. That was the period when the Fed and Treasury were handing out trillions of dollars in helicopter money to businesses and consumers. In sharp contrast, today, the Fed is hiking interest rates at the fastest pace in history and is on track to burn over $1 trillion per year out of the money supply. The mainstream financial media continues to claim there is no leverage or bubbles or excesses in the system. I heard that even today. You know, it's not going to be a bad recession because there's no excesses in the system like we had in 2008. Well, that is laughable. Take, for instance, the real estate market. The S&P Case-Shiller U.S. Home National Home Price Index was 123 in the middle of 2002. Home prices then soared to 184 on the index at the peak of the real estate bubble in the summer of 2006, which was an increase of 49.5% over the preceding 4 years. This very same index now stands at an eye-popping 300. It was 200 in March of 2018. So from an already inflated level of 4 years ago, home prices have again shot up by 50%. And most incredibly, home values are 63% higher than they were at the apex of the great real estate bubble. Remember back then, I thought, well, geez, home prices will never get this high. It'd take decades to get back to where they were after they crashed by 33%. Well, they got back very quickly, and then they went 63% higher. And we know why. It's zero interest rate policies and massive trillions of dollars of purchases of mortgage-backed securities. Clues about where housing and the economy are heading can be found in Toll Brothers' Q4 earnings report that was announced last night, which stated that contracts to purchase a new home have plunged by 60% year over year. Of course, I understand the quality of mortgages are better today than they were during the Great Recession, but the risk-taking is just as bad. After all, Wall Street speculators and home flippers bought 25% of all single-family homes sold last year. Indeed, there is no real shortage of home inventory, just a shortage of common sense on Wall Street. Once home prices begin to fall, as they have, Wall Street will begin dumping their inventory, and price declines should then begin to snowball from there. Despite slightly lower mortgage rates last week, the average contract rate decreased to 6.49% from 6.67%. Applications to refinance mortgages dropped by 13% week over week and plummeted 86% year over year. 86% plunge in refi activity, and applications to purchase a new home at this new higher interest rate, even though it's lower from last week, plunged by 41% year over year. Now, it is impossible, not improbable, not likely, it is impossible not to have a deep recession when home purchases and refi activity is in a depression. Pending home sales are down 36.7% year over year in October. Yet the deep state of Wall Street keeps debating about whether there will be a recession at all. The real estate market is heading for a deep dive. And we have a Fed that has made it clear that it is still in the hiking business. It has another 100 basis points at least of rate hikes coming by March of next year, which is where I think they're going to stop. And then they're just going to stay there for a while until the credit markets freeze. And that means that Powell will have raised rates by 500 basis points year over year. And when you combine that move with unprecedented hiking of quantitative tightening, burning of the balance sheet, $95 billion a month, you get the most hawkish Federal Reserve in history. Hence, we won't just have a 2008-style housing bust next year. We're also going to have a 2000-like NASDAQ meltdown in equities because stocks are still in extreme overvalued territory. And because interest rates were pushed to near 0% for years on end, there's a collapse in low-grade corporate bonds, leveraged loans, CLOs, and other asset-backed securities underway or in the queue as well. All three gargantuan bubbles, stocks, bonds, and real estate, are going to burst simultaneously to varying degrees and at different times, but they're all going to be in the process of unwinding. That grand reconciliation of asset prices is going to occur simultaneously next year. Now, the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model isn't perfect. Nothing and nobody is except, or actually was, except Bernie Madoff. However, it is very good at forecasting a negative economic and market liquidity cycle. It has allowed us to participate in bull markets in the past, while also has gotten us out of harm's way during bear markets. And that is a far better way of investing than the gong show you receive regularly on the mainstream financial networks.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.